So Genesis chapter 41, and we'll take our reading from verse 40 down to verse 44. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee no man shall lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll unite together in prayer and we'll seek the Lord at this time. And if you do feel a bit stuffy because the heater is on, if you need to open one of the doors, that's fine. Don't worry about that. Please do. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we just pray for thy help now. We thank thee, even Lord, for all the lessons that we have learned in the life of Joseph. Father, above all, we thank thee for each week we've been able to be drawn to your Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray even as we enter into this new section, may our hearts rejoice in our Saviour, who he is and what he has done, what he is doing and what he is yet to do. Lord, we pray we will rejoice in thee always with our hearts. We pray apply thy word to each heart. We pray, O God, thou wilt instruct believers, encourage believers. And Father, we pray for souls without Christ, without a Saviour. May they come this day and claim the Lord Jesus, and may he rule and reign in their lives. In his name we pray. Amen. Joseph, interpreting Pharaoh's dream, which was really a message from God, was declaring what God had established, what God was about to do. He then instructed Pharaoh that a famine was coming. Therefore, preparations must be made for the next 7 years of plenty, because those years would be followed by 7 years of famine. Pharaoh was to look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. A man that possessed understanding and wisdom was the man to be chosen, the man that was required, one qualified and suited to meet all the needs, the requirements, to save a people from perishing in the famine. However, Pharaoh knew that there was no man within his kingdom who was discreet and wise. There was no one, going by the requirements that Joseph stated, that was suited to rule over the land of Egypt, even among his own counselors and the wisest of men that he had in his day. None of them met the requirements that Joseph had spoken, not even among his counselors. Pharaoh said to his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man with whom the Spirit of God is? And that phrase is wonderful, because Pharaoh links the man who is discreet, the man who is wise, the man who has understanding, one who is worthy of leadership, as a man who is divinely touched, a man with whom the Spirit of God is, a man whose life has the touch of Almighty God. The message and the meaning of the dream, which Joseph gave an answer to, and the words that he spoke to Pharaoh, caused Pharaoh to testify, God has showed thee all this. And that's amazing. Joseph has told Pharaoh all that God is about to do. The man that must be chosen to rule over the nation. The man who will be established there to provide and preserve the people. And Pharaoh can say, God has showed thee all this. Pharaoh admits and he recognizes the man who's chosen must be a unique man. Something about that man that sets him apart from every other man. He's discreet. He's wise. His words are true as they come from God. And obviously, Pharaoh can't find anybody in his kingdom who would fit such a description. The only one who is in his view, the only one who can meet such a demand and such requirements is Joseph. There's none so wise and discreet as thou art, Pharaoh says. He's seen in Joseph words that were faithful, a walk that was pleasing, wisdom which was incomparable, and a worth that was irreplaceable. Pharaoh must have Joseph, otherwise all will perish. Pharaoh knew Joseph alone could lead the people to safety. Joseph, as we've noted, he was appointed by God, and he was anointed by the Spirit to fulfill the assignment given to him, to save a people from misery and death by the coming famine, to be that provider and that preserver in a time of great need. Joseph is one chosen out from the people. He is exalted high above all. And therefore, Pharaoh says to him in verses 40 to 41, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And as we think here of Joseph being exalted, and remember we said we've now come to the middle stage, we've looked at these, his humiliations, and now we're, his humiliation, now we're coming to his exaltation on forwards. So we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, because his life as well is divided by his humiliation and his exaltation. As we think of Joseph, being exalted, so we have a few of our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is one chosen from among the people. He is the only mediator between God and man. He's the only one who has been chosen to save a people, to save sinners in their misery, facing eternal death by giving them, saving them by giving them eternal life. The Shorter Catechism in question 19 asks, "What is the misery of the estate wherein to man fell?" And the answer is, all mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. And that before you is a summary of the sinner's present position, without Christ, without a hope, in misery, and the wrath of God awaits that lost sinner. God's wrath abides upon the sinner, and there will be a day when that sinner dies in their sin, when they will enter in to the full wrath of God in eternal torment. God's law has been rebelled against, and therefore God's law calls for the rebel's punishment. God's law, it cannot save. For the law is our schoolmaster to discipline, to follow us. The law, accusation, will not allow the accused to go free. The law has found transgressors out. That's why the Lord said in John chapter 5, verse 45, "There is one that accuseth you, Moses." And Moses symbolized there, appointed to the law of God. "There's one that accuses you, and it is the law of God." Do you realize that, sinner? God's law accuses you day by day. You've broken the law of God. You've transgressed the law of God. You've violated his commandments. And therefore, God's law says of you, condemned, condemned, condemned. And the law of God chases you day by day as your schoolmaster to inflict that discipline that one day you will enter in to damnation. There's one that accuses you. The law will not let you go. Like Pharaoh and the people of the land, there's no one else who can save. They can't save themselves. Pharaoh cannot save them. But there's one who Pharaoh looks to, who is able to save them, and that is Joseph. And therefore, as the law accuses, as the law cannot give life, and as we are facing eternal death, there's one who can save, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the schoolmaster leads to Christ. We learn, and we must cry out like Pharaoh, can we find such a one as this, in whom the Spirit of God is? Can we find such a one? Can we find a man of wisdom, a man of worth, a man of understanding? Can we find one who will save us from damnation? Can we find one who will deliver us from misery and from eternal wrath? And I'm glad I can tell you, praise the Lord, there is. There's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who has been provided to bring sinners out of misery, out of bondage, out of burden. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, there's one who accuses, but hallelujah, there's one who's met that accusation on behalf of sinners he came to save. And so Jesus Christ, he is one exalted, one chosen out of the people to give life, and that more abundant. He is the wisdom of God. He understood what the law required, what needed to be done to honor God. He understood the penalty that must be paid to satisfy God, to honor God, to save sinners from the wrath they deserve. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer. He did all that was required to save from wrath to come. And therefore, believer, we rejoice just as Pharaoh turned to Joseph. You rejoice on that day when you look to none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. You rejoice that day when you abandoned hope in yourself and in the church, and you found none but Christ could satisfy, none but Christ could meet your need. And he did. And therefore, unsaved one, in your misery, in your sin, under the wrath of God, you must look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only way to heaven. I tell you this, to look to anyone else is to never find the way to heaven. To search anywhere else is never to arrive. I say to you, all you need for salvation, for your sins forgiven, to entrance into heaven, is found in Jesus Christ. There's no other Savior, no other Redeemer. Look to Jesus Christ alone for full salvation, and you will be saved. And that's the whole picture here we have before us. And so Joseph is the one chosen, and therefore Pharaoh puts him on the throne. And so now we're looking here that obviously Christ's humiliation has finished, and now he's entered into his exaltation. Joseph, his humiliation has ended, and now he's entered in to his exaltation. Notice, as we think of the first message, Joseph set over Egypt. The first point is Joseph's position. And there are three simple thoughts that we want to look under. But Pharaoh, in exalting Joseph, he said, in verses 40 to 41, thou shalt be over my house. Having been exalted by Pharaoh to rule over the land of Egypt, Joseph was given this position. Thou shalt be over my house. That is to rule, to execute power over the affairs and the furtherance of the kingdom of Egypt. Joseph was set before the people in the land as the only preserver, the only provider of life when facing death. Pharaoh exalted Joseph, and Joseph sat at Pharaoh's right hand. Notice those words. Only in the throne, Pharaoh says to Joseph, will I be greater than thou. And these words do not mean that Joseph was any less of a ruler or had any less power than Pharaoh, for both men sat upon the throne. Both possessed equal power and honor, but their roles differed within the kingdom. Pharaoh gave into Joseph's hand a people to save, whereas Joseph's, his work was to honor Pharaoh in saving, preserving that people from perishing. Once again, we see a direct link to the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Joseph. John 13, verse 3, Jesus, knowing the Father had given him all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. Revelation 3, 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Christ's position is recorded in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, who is set down or set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Christ is set down at the right hand at the throne of God. And so here is Joseph's position on the throne to rule. And so Christ, in his exaltation, he is upon the throne to rule and to reign. And notice, as we think about Joseph's position, Joseph's three simple thoughts in closing. Joseph's responsibility in his position. His responsibility. Thou shalt be over my house. That refers to responsibility. It refers to administration over the people of the kingdom and over the kingdom itself. It's all been given into Joseph's hand to rule, to reign over by his word. Remember, Joseph is chosen for this purpose. He is a man wise and discreet, and therefore he will do all things decently and in order, because our God is a God of order. This is the fourth time in the life of Joseph that he has been given responsibility over a house or an administrative role. Genesis 37, verse 3, remember, in receiving the coat of many colors from his father, that symbolized responsibility, the leader of the house over his brethren. Chapter 39, verse 4, he was put over Potiphar's house. Genesis 39, 22, he was put over the prisoners in jail. Now in chapter 41, he is put over Pharaoh's house. And here is the point. Through Joseph's life and his humiliation, his suffering and sorrows, Joseph was faithful in every responsibility for a people that was given to him. We've learned that through his life. He served them. He gave the word of God to them. He was faithful in all matters, in every place he was, in his father's house, or in the prison, or in Potiphar's house, or in Pharaoh's prison. He was faithful in all matters. And so now he is exalted. Here's the point. He will remain faithful to a people given to him. Now that he is exalted, he is to rule over a people to preserve them from ruin, preserve them from death, and to keep them safe and secure. And so Joseph will not fail. He will remain faithful in the responsibility that is given to him. And what a view we have of Christ, because he is our faithful prophet, our faithful priest, and our faithful king. Not only in his humiliation, but also in his exaltation. He will always be our faithful prophet, our priest, and our king. Revelation 1, verse 5 calls Christ a faithful witness. Therefore, he is our faithful prophet, one to give the word of God. He is described in Hebrews 2, verse 17, a faithful high priest, in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And so he alone serves his people. He alone intercedes for them and makes that sacrifice. We learn in Revelation 19, verse 13, Christ is called faithful and true. Verse 16, King of Kings, Lord and Lords, one who rules and reigns over his people, defeating and conquering all his and our enemies. And Joseph is here to conquer the famine. He's here to conquer death. He's here to conquer this famine, to spare life for the people. And so Christ conquers are and his enemies. And the greatest enemy is death, because he's won the victory over death and give us eternal life. And so in all this, Psalm 119, verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. During his sufferings and his sorrows, Christ was faithful. He fulfilled his duty unto God to save a people within the everlasting covenant of grace. A kingdom was given to Christ to rule and to reign over, to be that faithful prophet, priest, and king. He was faithful over the household of faith. He did all that was needed to be done to purchase their redemption. And having finished his humiliation, he's now entered into heaven itself in his exaltation, where he remains a faithful prophet, priest, and king over the household of faith, over the church whom he purchased with his own blood. And he will provide for them until he brings them home to glory. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, he abideth faithful. Here is the wonderful thought. Joseph is not depending upon the people to keep him through the famine. Rather, they look to Joseph upon the throne to keep them through the famine. They're looking to Joseph to provide for them, to meet their need, and to save them. No wonder Peter could say, in thinking of Christ, as we look to Christ to save us, my hope getting to heaven doesn't rest upon me. My hope for heaven rests upon Christ. I am depending on him. I am saved by his life and his death and his resurrection. 1 Peter 4, verse 19, that believers commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Christ is faithful in saving, in keeping, and in glorifying his redeemed people. We are his responsibility. We are the kingdom that has been given into his hand. He has been charged with sinners given to him. And therefore, believer, just as the Lord had been given responsibilities and faithful in them, so we too have been given responsibilities in this church, our family, our children, employment, education, community, people to pray for, to be faithful to. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. When God gives you something so small to do and you're faithful, he will give you more. And therefore, when you, even for those who work with children, when you put your all and invest in those children, you pray for them. When you're faithful, that wee small group, God will give you more. And with this congregation, we can extend it all. And therefore, the point is this. Joseph, in his position, in his responsibility, in his humiliation, he was faithful. And in his exaltation, he continued to be faithful for a people given to him. And therefore, Christ remains faithful to his people. Oh yes, we're unfaithful to him, but he will always be faithful to his people. Notice also Joseph's rule in his position. Notice Pharaoh said, according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Joseph ruled by his word. His word came with absolute authority. His word was magnified above all. They depended upon the word from the throne. If the people were to be spared from perishing, it was by the word of Joseph. The warning that he gave, it must be attended to. The commands that he gave were to be obeyed. Do this, and thou shalt live. Choose out a man, make the preparations, and thou shalt be spared. When Egypt was famishing, when Egypt was barren, the needy were told what they must do. They must go to Joseph. When Jacob sent his brethren into Egypt, as we will learn in chapter 42, verse 1 and 2, to buy corn. They were given instruction what to do. And therefore, Joseph's words were clear and plain. Even Pharaoh said, Genesis 41, verse 55, go on to Joseph, and what he saith to you, do. Meaning, go to Joseph for food, for provision, and what he says, do. And therefore, as we think of Christ, Christ rules by his word, because his word shall never pass away. Psalm 138, verse 3, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Revelation chapter 20, he judges by his word. Remember, Mary told the servants in the wedding in John chapter 2, verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you to do, do it. And therefore, entrance into his kingdom and living the kingdom life is by faith in him and according to his word, even if it goes against a human thinking. His ways are best. His word is true. Remember Luke chapter 5, Christ said to his disciples to cast launch out into the deep, and yea, they had been there fishing. And you can imagine Christ telling them to go back to the same place. But we've been there, we've done that, we've caught nothing. Go back, launch out into the deep. Nevertheless, at thy word, they obeyed the Lord, because whatever he told them to do, they did it, and they caught a great multitude of fish. Today, child of God, he continues to say to you, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I say, never stray from the word of God. Dwell in the word, and let the word of God dwell in you. I say to you, are you memorizing God's word? Get God's word into your soul. I don't know, type in something, 10 verses to memorize, or whatever it may be, or pick verses. I actually here, I always carry, or maybe I don't have it with me here today. Let me see if I have it here. I carry this around with me at night time and stuff. This is what I have, Bible Answers for Every Need. I take this, and it's all filled with verses, and I try to memorize verses during the week. Some try to get one each day, or some, if they're longer, try to do a couple each week, memorizing the Word of God, getting the Word of God in you, because that's what we need, the Word of God, because we are ruled by the Word of God. And when you have the Word of God in you, you'll not get into all the nonsense that the Church of England have got into, because you'll come back to the Word of God, and you'll be able to say, here's what God's Word says on this matter. And so the point is this, I encourage you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, that he will rule by his word. And therefore, child of God, we are ruled by the word of God. Is your life ruled by the word of God? Is the Lord challenging you about something, about doing something? Or is the Lord challenging you about forsaking something, abandoning something? And we've been through many subjects, even in this church, already. And maybe the Lord has speaking to you through as the word is preached about something that you're holding on to. It's holding on to you. Like we learned this morning about the lamps being clogged up. It needs to be removed, whatever that may be. And God's challenging you about it. Will you, does his word, are you ruled by his word? That you will do what he said, because that's the point. Joseph, in his exaltation, Pharaoh says, my kingdom will be ruled by your word. And therefore, Christ's church is ruled by his word. Doesn't matter my opinion. Doesn't matter what I want. And we've said this before, haven't we? Even about love, courtship, and marriage. A touchy subject, but ought not to be. Because based on God's word, those who are dating and those who are about to enter into marriage, you must be dating, a Christian must be dating a Christian. Doesn't matter how good they are, how good looking they are, whatever you want to mention. If you're ruled by the word of God and you're dating someone who's not a Christian, you ought to be saying, do you know what? God's word I'm ruled by, and God's word says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we can go through many subjects, but the point is this, when your life is ruled by the word of God, then you'll be on that right way, because his word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Joseph will rule this kingdom by his word. Whatever he says, they are to do. And so, child of God, for you to live a victorious Christian life, it must be by the word of God, what he says to you. Unsaved one, if you're to be saved from your sin, it is by God's word, what he said to you. You must be born again. And notice finally, Joseph's right to rule. Verse 44, Pharaoh said on to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And what that simply means is Joseph has all right and the only right to rule, because he is the one that has been exalted. He is the one over the kingdom. In all matters of the kingdom, it all came through Joseph, by Joseph. No man could act without Joseph. They were not to invent new ways or different ways to try and survive. Rather, they were to depend upon his word, because the word came from God. Joseph alone had the message from God, and Joseph alone had the answer. And so as he is highly exalted, Pharaoh has put him in that position. Thou shalt rule over the land of Egypt. Joseph has the right to rule. He has all authority to rule, and no man can challenge him. No man can try to go in a competition against him. No man can act without him. They must depend upon Joseph. As we think, Christ is greatly, highly exalted by his walk, wisdom, and worth, by his glorious person and gospel ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ has full right and the only right to rule over the affairs of his eternal kingdom and all the kingdoms of the earth. He alone has the right to redeem sinners. That was never given to the church, never given to the preacher, never given to the Pope. A load of nonsense. Only Christ has the right to redeem. Only Christ has all authority to redeem. He is the right as he sits upon heaven's throne, as the Bible, as the psalmist says, he doth whatsoever he pleaseth, and he will always do according to his own sovereign will. Nothing will happen by mistake, but all will happen for the glory of God and the benefit of his people. Because as we will discover, all that Joseph does is to honor Pharaoh in this kingdom from a human point of view, and for the good of the people, that they will go, because Joseph will open up the storehouses and it will be filled full of supplies for them in a time of need. And so Joseph has the right to rule. Christ has the right to rule. Believer, Christ has the right to rule in your life, and the only right to rule in your life. This phrase today that you hear people say, you have no right to tell me what to do, you have no right to say that to Christ, because he has the right to rule in your life, whatever that may be. And therefore, there's no area in your life, my life, that should be closed to him. No room in the house where Christ is not welcomed. Every area of our house must be ruled by the Lord. Every area in our life must be ruled by the Lord, in our wants, our desires. And as I said, if it's not pleasing or whatever it may be, it must be put aside, if challenged by it, by the Lord. Because as we learned this morning, John 15:5, without me, he says, ye can do nothing. The people in Egypt could do nothing without Joseph. His word spoke, he had the right to rule. And therefore, without Christ, there is no blessing. Abandon Christ and you abandon blessing. Shop around and you miss the supply that runs from heaven's storehouse. Believer, as the wind and the waves obey him, so must you. Are you obeying the word of God? Are you reading his word? Are you seeking to spend time with him day by day? The Lord has not saved you or me to be a Sunday Christian or to be a 1 week Christian. We're saved to live a life transformed by God, to glorify him day by day. God brought Joseph from the pit to the prison, to the palace. He was in full control, humbled for a season, and then exalted. And so, believer, in our life, God is in full control. From the low points to the high points, he is in full control. Through the pit experiences, through the prison experiences, to the palace, it is worth it all when we see Jesus. Joseph's position. And there's a lot more to come in the next number of weeks. That's the first point. Joseph set over Egypt. As he set over your family. As he set over your life. We spoke to the children last week in the children's meeting. We took that going through the Old Testament. Joseph said, or Joshua said to the people, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is Christ ruling and reigning in your life. May the Lord answer prayer for his name's sake. Amen.